Hi, my name is Gary Houck. I am the Dean Emeritus at Montcalm Community College, and here to talk about this book that I was asked to write several years ago now about the history of MCC. We are now in our 60th year. I'm happy to share what I've learned.
Welcome to the Discover Montcalm podcast, where we are going to look at the communities, the businesses, the attractions, and the people that make up Montcalm County. Here is your podcast host, Dwayne Weed.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Discover Montcalm podcast. As you heard, I have Gary Houck here, and today our main focus is going to be on the history of Montcalm Community College. I like to touch on history. I like to see and learn different things that I may not have before. I know at one point I had Dr. Burns on a previous episode, so he also gave some history of his time, which you can go back and you can search that within the discovermontcalmpodcast.com website and look up Don Burns, and you can get that information. But now I have Gary with me. Gary, thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know that I had you on before as Dr. Reverend Amble.
Yes.
and you were in character, which was awesome.
Thank you. I enjoyed that.
My students were directing it at that point, which I thought was really, really cool.
They were great.
But you've written just, what, one or two books?
26.
I said that with a little sarcasm.
I know you did. Thank you.
And you've done them on all types of topics.
I have.
You know, and we're going to be doing with you three different podcasts. Mm-hmm. This one on MCC, we're going to do one on Clifford Lake, mm-hmm. and we're going to do one on the Heritage Village at MCC. Yep. But we're going to stay pretty true to MCC right now.
Good.
So 60 years.
60 years. And when they talked to me about this book, it was 2012, and we were coming on to our 50th anniversary in 2015. And so Terry Smith, who was then the director of the MCC Foundation, said, "Can you write for us the history of MCC?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to need a lot of help if I do that." And so they were happy to do that for me.
It wasn't one of those once upon a time.
Oh, yeah. No.
Now we're dealing with facts.
Exactly. So it took about 3 or 4 years to put this together. And they gave us that time. But Shelley Springborn, who was the director of communications back then, was a tremendous help, wrote a good section on our alumni, like Brian Cowley, mm-hmm. The youngest lieutenant governor in the state of Michigan at age 34 in 2011, and was one of our alumni. He went to our dual enroll program in Ionia in 1995 and 96. So she did some pieces like that, a large section of the book. So I was the compiler of it. But I did engage the aid of our librarians, of our admin assistants, our cultural events coordinator. But one of the fun things I did, I interviewed 17 MCC veterans in the old guard.
Cool.
Dr. Bill Sider, one of our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Les Morford, our first teacher. Lois Springsteen, our first admin assistant. Ken Smith, one of our very first directors of music. Okay. And so I asked them questions for a half an hour or so on video, and now those are also a part of the archives at MCC. And that became a large part of the story. So as I unfolded, it was not just the facts and details, but mm-hmm. also fleshed it out with narratives and stories along the way.
Well, that's what an author does. Hmm. And as I joked, said once upon a time, it's not that kind. It's not a novel.
Yeah.
This is more like a little documentary that you're putting in writing.
Yeah.
Take us back 60 years.
Yeah.
What year was that? I quickly tried to do the math.
Well, 1963, they began a feasibility study in Montcalm. Ionia had gone through two attempts to create a community college, and it failed both times. So Dr. Bill Sider, who was then the superintendent of MAISD, said, "Let's begin a study to find out whether or not it might sail in Montcalm."
Okay.
And so he got a committee together. B. Dozer was one of those committee members. And after about a year or so, they said, "We think we can do this. And let's go around, have town hall meetings, and see what kind of support we might engender." So B. Dozer was a mover and shaker, and she had a gentle persuasion about her.
Oh, one of those.
Yes, exactly. And she would say to the folks, if we could have 200 graduates this year from our high schools going to college. If they leave our county, they're taking about $400,000 with them to the other county, whether it's Kent or whatever. If we can keep them here, we keep that money in county. And so through that kind of reasoning, she was able to get an audience and some interest. And sure enough, March 2nd, 1965, when the vote went to Montcalm County, the Montcalm County residents voted yes.
Oh.
And so that night, the proposal passed. No name yet. They had a contest to give it a name.
Okay.
Some suggested Spud Tech, since we're the potato capital of Michigan, but that didn't sail.
Well, that would have been interesting to have seen what those names were.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they settled on Montcalm Community College. But it, you know, like Spud Tech, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there were quite a few. Yeah.
And to me, that's one of the reasons why I really enjoy this podcast, mm-hmm. is that I get to learn facts that I didn't know before.
Yeah.
So that was 1965.
65, March 2nd. And by the way, that same night, Les Morford got wind of this and was the first person to contact the board and said, I want to apply to be a teacher. And so he became the first employed teacher on the faculty at Montcalm Community College. And now we have a building named after him, the Les Morford Building. And the first year, of course, we had classes that began in the fall of 65, but there was no campus. Mm-hmm. So our classes met in churches, libraries, schools, and the county jail. There were cells that were not being used. And so they said, if they're not being used, can we use them for classes? And so our students actually met in the cells.
Yeah, just make sure you don't shut the doors while we're in it, right?
Exactly. What a start.
You know, okay. So you're talking about students. Do you know how many students were enrolled that first year? Do you have any idea?
I think there were 50 in the VOTEC and about 23 in the nursing program. And so they already had a pretty good cohort, and they graduated in 1967. Commencement services were held for the nurses, the LPN program at the Congregational Church in Greenville, and for the VOTEC at a larger study area conference room at Greenville High School. So as this was going on, we did have a pinpointed location for our campus.
Okay.
They had suggestions for 16, 17 different cities in the area that wanted us.
Oh, sure.
But they had consultants from UM and MSU, two gentlemen, mm-hmm. who found the bullseye of the county, and that was the Anderson Farm.
Oh, okay.
And so they talked to the Andersons, and the Andersons literally sold the farm. And so that property became the campus of Montcalm Community College. And so they had a master plan created. Mm-hmm. And by 1967, the fall of that year, a little later than September, I think it was October, they opened the campus with the first three buildings, the admin building, instruction east, and instruction north, which was the VOTEC building. And west would soon follow as well. So on that campus, by the way, they had a major patio, a larger area outdoors, is called the atrium. And because it's a Roman word, it goes back to the Roman Empire, they used the word the centurion for their mascot and for their teams.
Okay.
So when they finally got their basketball team, baseball team, a golf team, and cross country, they called them the centurion. So that's
and
where that came
just
from.
Happened fairly recently.
To go back to those teams, yes. Yeah,
to go back to those teams.
They were suspended during the 90s, and now we're going back to the 70s and the 80s with those teams.
So, okay,
yeah,
cool.
That's exactly right.
So how many graduated that first year?
Yeah.
That first commencement?
First commencement, 50 and 23. I think they're around 70, 75-ish in that regard.
And do you know if we fast forward to this time, what that number is? Do you have any facts on that?
I'm thinking around 250 or so, if I recall correctly. I spoke at commencement a few years ago, and if I recall correctly, we had around 250 graduates. Okay. And this year, of course, we had a record-breaking enrollment with well over 2,000 with our current administration. But it's kind of fun to see how the presidents who led us kind of gave us different eras.
Oh, sure.
And so each era has its own character and its own personality. So Don Fink was our first president. He was hired early on in that venture and served from 1965 to 1971. And so under him and Cliff Bedore, who followed after him, served from 72 to 1978, you have those programs rolling out. which included business and nursing and aviation maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that even that Votech building was an airplane hangar for a while, for 10 years. And the grass strip that's now part of the village used to be the landing strip for the airplanes that would land on campus during that program. So we had that going on.
Okay, I'm trying to picture, because I'm so used to what's there now.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to picture, it's
one of those fields right next to the, across the street from the admin building, that was a landing strip.
Okay.
So, and Jess Fox was the dean in charge of that program. But you had that role. You had the sports teams. You had the pep band. You had the choir.
Mm-hmm.
So Ken Smith, who was a teacher of science, was also a musician. So he became the choir director, and he and Vernon Dean Blake wrote the alma mater. In one of those classrooms in Instruction West. And by the way, University of Michigan male chorus did a nice rendition of that the school has used for years, of that beautiful alma mater. But mm-hmm. all that rolls out during the era of both Bedore and also of Dr. Fink. And then when Herb Stoutenberg came along, he established through a partnership with the foundation, the MCC Foundation itself,
okay.
with Stan Ash as the chairperson. So now they had a nice foundation financially for development and stewardship yeah. and raising the funds.
And I did some work for Stan.
I got to know
him a little bit. Okay. And he was very much into education.
Yeah.
Education of his employees and making sure that he was providing not only employment for them, but a way for them to get better. And, you know, so I think that it's people like that. Now you're getting into the era that I recognize.
Yeah.
You know, I had talked with Les and did some stuff with him.
Oh, sure.
New Stan. And it's interesting that you're putting names out that I go, oh, I remember
sure.
those. So, the president after the one that you just talked about.
So Herb Stoutenberg. So this is interesting. In 1971, under Don Fink, before he left, they hired a young man to be a counselor whose name was Don Burns.
Okay.
He became a dean of students during Cliff DeBoer's administration. Mm-hmm. And during Stoutenberg, he became vice president. So when Stoutenberg left in 84, Don Burns became president. And so he served from 84 until 2008.
Yes.
And I came in as dean while he was the president there. And so I saw a lot of the initiatives that Don brought to bear, including our outposts.
Mm-hmm.
We had campuses in Howard City, Ionia, of course, the Greenville campus,
right.
the
right.
MTech, now called the Learning Center. So that was all a part of his program. We found Crystal the Mastodon during his era.
Okay.
That's now in our library since 1988, curated by University of Michigan. And the Village started. We'll talk about that more in a different podcast, but
yeah.
the Village began under Don Burns' administration.
And you can hear some of that, not to interrupt.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have done my research a little bit better before I started.
Yeah, no.
Don talks about it in his episode
oh,
of
sure.
the podcast
yeah.
of what happened while he was there
yeah.
and some of the things. But firsthand, he lived it. He talked about it.
Yeah.
He shared it. And it was, you know, it is very interesting. So not to interrupt you, but
no,
as you
yeah.
were saying.
And I'm sure he mentioned the turnaround in 1996 mm-hmm. with the millage.
Mm-hmm.
Because prior to that time, since the March 2nd vote, there had not been a millage passed.
Ooh.
And so that was a huge vote in Montcalm County. And there were some tough times financially, some
mm-hmm.
challenges. And so I have a picture of Don Burns on the porch of the admin building with a furrowed brow waiting for that news to come. And finally it came that the millage passed. And in his words, that became a turnaround and gave some strong financial footing going forward.
Perfect.
Which was a very exciting time. So it's fun to hear him talk. I'm sure he mentioned that in that
yeah,
podcast.
I don't remember it word for word. I just remember sitting in his three-season porch
sure.
interviewing him and talking
yeah.
to him.
Oh, what a great guy.
So from Don, move forward.
Bob Ferrantino. So interesting, the first four presidents were MSU graduates with either an EDD or, in Don's case, a PhD. So Bob Ferrantino came from the world of law, a Cooley Law School graduate, Dr. Jurisprudence. He had been a lawyer with Ford Motor and then was our VP at Muskegon Community College and came to us and served from 2009 to 2019. So he served for 10 years. And under his administration, the focus was on student success.
Okay.
And Don had already laid a groundwork for cultural enrichment, a community outreach, study abroad, and Bob built on that mm-hmm. and implemented that. So under his administration, we had a lot of study abroad going on, strong cultural enrichment. Of course, Stan and Blanche Ash created so much for us in terms mm-hmm. of the funding for that with their endowment. And so student development, student success was his hallmark. So much so that now the Student Success Center is named for Bob Ferrantino, just like the Admin Building is named for Don Burns. So they left our marks in a wide variety of ways. I had a chance to speak at the retirement for Bob Ferrantino and reflect on those student success days. We shared a study abroad together. He and I and Rob Spohr and Bill Bishop, professor of business, led a study abroad group to India in 2017, I believe it was, with 10 students. At Solon, India, in the Himalayas, at the Panwar Community College. And so that was really a nice hallmark of that administrative era.
Okay. So we're getting closer to today.
Okay, yeah.
We've had a couple presidents since.
We have. So Stacey Young came from 2020 until 2023. She's from Manchester University, her undergraduate work, and a PhD from Andrews University. And she helped the school navigate through the COVID pandemic.
Right. What a unwelcomed problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she handled it well with grace. And also during that time, she had a focus on recruitment and retention. And she also initiated the idea of a housing for students on campus. So the
which
idea
we are
of the dorm,
seeing the
we're
results.
Seeing it now. Yes. Okay. So when she left in 2023 to go to Manchester, where she's now the president, where she went to school earlier for undergrad. We had Connie Stewart, who our VP was at that time, serve as the interim. And then Dr. Bradley Barrick, our new president, came July 1st of 2024. And he has really run with the concept of the housing. I mean, the building is going up very quickly. It's going to be ready by next fall with 84 beds. And talk about recruitment and retention with a 16% increase this year, really building on that foundation and going with another 5-year strategic plan and tremendous community outreach. So Dr. Barrick brings to us a doctor of ministry from Evangel University, also working on his EDD from Michigan State University, but his chaplaincy in the military, his leadership, his skills with Rose State University as executive director and a professor, a wide variety of leadership backgrounds that really come to bear right now with our point in history. So it's kind of neat to see how each president has brought what we needed at that time to flourish in so many wonderful ways.
And for those that are listening to this in the future, this is October of 2025 that we're recording this podcast. So if you just want a perspective of things, because I know in the future, you know, maybe we'll have you back. We'll talk about anything that's changed in Montcalm County.
Sure.
We've kind of done an overview history.
Yes.
I'm sure we could start having you read from the book.
We'd be here for a long time.
We'd be here for a long time. So where can somebody purchase this book? Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a website. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. The website is GaryHauck.com, and so it certainly is on that. But it is was published by iUniverse, and so it's available through Amazon.com and also Barnes & Noble, worldwide distribution.
Okay.
And so anyone anywhere can get a copy of this book, and it's both in hardcover and paperback. And it's called Montcalm Community College, Creating Futures, Then, Now, and Always. And I love that title. Terry Smith suggested that based upon the foundation capital campaign that was named the same thing back at that time period to launch into our 2015 50th anniversary. So what you see on the cover is our celebration of 50 years.
Yes.
This came out the year after 2016 because we incorporated the events of that year in the process. In fact, talk about Centurion. That Centurion right there in the middle, that's me.
Oh, okay.
Wearing a Roman Centurion costume in the middle of our faculty and staff that are standing right there alongside Heritage Village.
That is pretty cool. And speaking of Heritage Village, we're going to do a podcast with you on that as well, so we can talk a little bit more about the history. As I wrap this up, is there anything that, you've been very thorough. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this before we move on?
I would just say that, I had a chance to be a dean there for 10 years and an adjunct for about 5 years when I retired in 2018. MCC is a family.
Okay.
It's not just a school. So my time there was just wonderful. I love the camaraderie between the faculty and the students, between the faculty and the staff, the faculty and the community, the students in the community. So when I was there, those years to me were very much being a part of a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who's out there trying to figure out where to go to school, if you have not landed, I heartily recommend MCC, where teachers know you by name,
right?
And care about you and care about your success. And I will tell you, my student experiences there were wonderful. My classes were caring. They were fun.
Mm-hmm.
They were engaged. And I look back with a smile on my face with the privilege of having served and being a part of the team at Montcalm Community College.
So again, GaryHauck.com. Yep. You can find all of your books, all 26 of them, right?
I think they're all there, yeah.
They're all there. So if you want to take a look, and they deal on a lot of different topics.
Some are history, some humanities, some religion, some reflection, some art.
And we're going to hit two more of those as we move forward into history in Montcalm County. So, Gary, thank you so much for
my pleasure
bringing your knowledge and your reflection from your book to the podcast.
Thank you, Dwayne.
You can find the Discover Montcalm podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as discovermontcalmpodcast.com. You can catch us on Pandora, Apple, and iHeart, or you can go to discovermontcalmpodcast.com, grab the RSS feed, and put it in your favorite browser. So with that being said, thank you for tuning in, and remember to buy and shop locally.
We would like to thank M1063, WGLM, FM, M1063.com. West Michigan Technology and Design Solutions is your local source for managed IT. Websites design and hosting. Check them out at WMTDS.com. At Business Growth Engine, Stephen and his team support businesses through automation and streamlined processes. Go to BuilderGrowthEngine.com. DW Video transfers your home movies, slides, audio, and videotapes to digital. They produce and design websites, create business and social media videos, TV commercials, and family storytelling videos. Visit dwvideo.com to learn more.